I'm JP Tuesday.
And I'm Kiki Cannon. We've been Disney fans our entire lives. And now, as childless adults, we're undertaking a journey through the media that shaped our lives.
Trying to find out if what made them special is still there.
We are Rewatching the Magic.
Hi, Kiki.
Hi, Tuesday.
A big congratulations to Alan Menken.
Woohoo!
Yeah, he is now a member of the EGOT Club. Kiki, can you tell him what that means?
It means you have won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony. This is the Holy Grail, Triple Crown, other sports metaphor.
Grand Slam.
I don't know. Grand Slam, whatever. This is one of the great things of the entertainment industry. Only a very few people have done it. It is extremely rare. So Alan Menken is now in a very exclusive club.
Yeah, congratulations to him. A big shout out to Toilet Tea Paper, who gave us a shout out on their live stream.
Yeah, so Toilet's been really nice to us with the retweets and the shares, and go check him out. He's at the Toilet on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. Go look for him. Good stuff. Friend of the show.
We are on our virtual summer vacation because we're still in a freaking pandemic here. So we really can't do everything that we want to do. So we're going to do it virtually.
Yeah, my semester ended last week. I got 2 weeks of vacation and then I have to go back for the next semester.
Yeah. We have
college teachers don't get summer vacation.
We have mentioned, that you are a teacher and we've all heard what's been going on with schools and reopening and.
For anybody worried about me personally, my classes this fall will be completely online. So don't worry. I continue to work from home and am quarantining. So just so you know.
That's one bright spot.
Yeah.
But let's leave this dumpster fire that is 2020 and let's go back to a simpler time, 1995.
Yes, a time when everything was skateboarding and Pauly Shore.
Buddy. Yeah, 25 years this movie. This year marks the 25th anniversary of A Goofy Movie.
Oh my god, we're old. We're old.
We're old. We are old. I remember this movie. I did not see this movie in theaters. I did remember seeing this movie on VHS. I did grab that VHS when it came out.
This may have been one that I saw in theaters. I kind of vaguely remember this on a big screen. So I think I did actually see this one in theaters. I was a big fan of Goof Troop.
Yeah, Goof Troop. So this technically can count as a Disney afternoon episode.
Yeah, you know me and my Disney Afternoon. We were both big fans of Disney Afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Goof Troop back in, was it 90? This is 95, so was it 93, 94?
Yeah, something like that. It was a couple of years into the show.
Yeah, so this was like the big finale of Goof Troop. So the show had done two seasons. They wrapped it up. The show about Goofy and his son Max living in suburbia. Next to Pete and his son PJ. Did you remember that Pete had a wife and a daughter and how they're not in this movie?
I did not remember that, but okay.
So yeah, Pete had a wife named Peg and a young daughter named Pistol because all of Pete's family has to have P names.
And then we got to PJ, which is just Pete Jr. Because Pete ran out of interesting names to give his children, I guess.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's the
do you think they got a divorce and it was like a parent trap situation of, like, I'll take one kid and you take the other?
That's the fan theory that, because those two were, Peg and Pete, it was always them arguing over something. So I guess Peg just got tired of Pete's crap and just left and took the baby daughter with her. I'm going to live with my mom.
Yeah, I suppose. I think the weirder part of that is that, like, apparently Goofy had a wife or a girlfriend or a
We know that Goofy had a wife because if you remember back in the 40s, the old George Geith cartoons.
Oh yes, the 40s, I remember them well.
Well,
we're not that old.
The old Goofy cartoons where he had a wife and he had a son.
Yeah.
Now we don't know if this is the same. We don't know if this is the same son that's Max. Some people believe it is. But you know, so we know that he had a wife. We don't know what happened to that wife. Again, the fan theory is that she died. Another Disney character with dead parents.
Yeah. Disney, stop it.
But,
I love the, I liked the family sitcom kind of idea of Goof Troop.
Yeah, it wasn't your traditional wacky cartoon like, you know, you would see with, for example, Gummy Bears or something like that.
Or it even wasn't an adventure cartoon. Disney Afternoon was big on adventure cartoons.
Yeah. Even DuckTales, even though it had the family element, was still an action cartoon.
And Tailspin, same thing. Yeah. It's father and son, but they keep going on, you know, wacky hijinks, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, this one was more sitcom. It just didn't have the laugh track, which thankfully the show didn't have a laugh track.
Yeah.
Animated shows and laugh tracks, I'm sorry, Flintstones, it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's really weird to have the idea of an audience watching an animated show.
Flintstones was animated in front of a live studio audience.
Yeah. I never liked that about Flintstones. It just always felt weird to me because I'm like, what are these people watching? Like, but yeah, Goof Troop was very much a domestic show. It was similar to the sort of plots in a lot of way that you would see on a lot of other family comedies, you know, Full House and stuff like that at the time.
I mean, it was still four kids. They didn't tackle drugs or anything or bulimia.
Well, no, but it was very much like Max will, you know, Max is worried about taking a test at school or, you know, there's a new person in the neighborhood or something. It was very domestic, and while it did have that slapsticky cartoon thing, it was much more relationship based.
Yeah.
A Goofy movie does tie into.
Yeah. It's definitely the father-son relationship. And for this movie, they actually kept a majority of the TV show cast, with the exception of Max himself. Of course, Max being older in this movie, they had to recast him.
The original voice actor was a woman. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they do some stuff with kind of puberty is starting to hit Max and everything. So, the original voice actress died, like, right after this movie came out. So I do wonder if her health might have also been an issue.
Possible.
I don't
Dana
know.
Dana Hill. That was her name.
Yeah, Dana Hill. But, yeah, I mean, she did die of some health problems not long after this movie at a shockingly young age. But I do wonder if that played a part. I do not know for sure, but it could be either. It could be a combination of both.
In the show, Max is supposed to be 10. I believe there was a birthday episode where he did turn 11. And in this movie, he's supposed to be 14, 15.
Yeah,
I mean, Dana Hill could have probably could have done an older Max if she wanted to, if she was able to, like you said, with her health issues. But the recast wasn't so bad. Do you want to go into the cast at this point?
Yeah, this is a pretty good cast. Most of them we've already talked about on previous episodes. We've got Bill Farmer as Goofy. He was, and still is, I think, doing the official voice of Goofy, as well as Pluto and Horace Horsecollar. So he has, for a long time now, and is still voicing those, you know, for... still to this day.
And Bill Farmer just had a TV show on Disney Plus all about dogs.
Yeah, that too. I haven't been able to see that yet. It's on my list. but we've mentioned him a little before in some of our like you said, we've got a recast for Max, which is Jason Marsden. We've talked about him before.
He was Schnookums and Schnookums and Meat.
Yeah. So, you know, he's got a very long and impressive voice acting career. So
good. And television career. Pretty much every sitcom. Talk about sitcoms. Every sitcom that aired on TV seemed to have Jason Marsden in it.
Yeah, he was big on the 90s sitcom things at the time.
Every TGIF show had Jason Marsden in at least one episode.
Yeah, someone we haven't talked about before is Aaron Lohr. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Who is the singing voice of Max.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, while Jason Marsden can sing, he does not do the singing voice for Max. And even he was not when about 5 years ago they did the 20th anniversary for the movie, and he just said he was never asked to sing. And he, this was at D23, the Disney convention in LA, and he actually got to sing for the first time, sing one of the songs in the movie, Nobody Else But You, with Bill Farmer on stage.
Awesome. Yeah, so Lohr had an interesting career with Disney. He was in the Mighty Ducks movies. Mm-hmm. He was in Newsies. Mm-hmm. He, of course, Goofy movie. And since then, he seems to have left acting and has become a licensed marriage and family therapist. Mm. But the interesting thing is that he has another Disney connection in his personal life, because Aaron Lohr is currently married to Idina Menzel.
He married Elsa.
He married Elsa. Apparently, they were in Rent together, and that's how they met. So, yeah. I thought that was very interesting. I wish them many years of happiness. Okay, let's move on here.
Who's this guy? Jim Cummings? Have you ever heard of this guy?
Jim Cummings. I don't know who that is. No, it's our old friend Jim Cummings as Pete.
A character that he has voiced many years before and since. And of course, you know him. He's the voice of Winnie the Pooh. He's the voice of
Tigger,
and so many other characters. Darkwing Duck. Yeah.
Yeah. Jim Cummings was all over the Disney afternoon, and he's all over this show because we talk about him a lot.
Yeah, true Disney legend there.
Kelly Martin.
Yeah, Kelly Martin as Roxanne, the love interest of Max in this movie.
Yeah, she was at the time for having been on the TV show Life Goes On. She was also the voice of Daphne in A Pup Named Scooby-Doo. She would also be the voice of Molly in Tasmania around that time. So, you know, she was all over your childhood if you are roughly of an age with us.
So, yeah, her deal was playing young girls in cartoons.
Yeah, young girls in cartoons. Good for her.
Rob Paulsen as PJ, another voice actor legend.
Yeah. You of course know him again as Pinky,
Echo Warner,
or Donatello in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, depending on which version you're watching.
Yeah.
So he's everywhere. Know him, love him. We've talked about him a lot before. Love you, Rob. You keep doing what you're doing, my man.
Yep.
All right. The one person I want to talk about, this one, this next one, because this was a person that I did not know was actually in this movie. I thought it was somebody doing an impression, because this is uncredited in the actual film.
Yep. Pauly Shore as Bobby, the third friend that we've never saw in Goof Troop.
This character is suddenly third best friend.
Yeah.
Pauly Shore, and if you've seen the movie and you know anything about Pauly Shore, like I said, I thought this was somebody doing a Pauly Shore impression for years.
So the thing about Pauly Shore in the 90s is it was a blessing and a curse, sort of, that, you know, when you're known for talking a certain way, every character you play has to have that voice, that the weasel voice, as he would always call it, buddy, you know, that voice, that surfer dude voice. It's like Layer the Cable Guy in his over-accentuating the hillbilly accent, or Pee Wee Herman in his voice.
Larry the Cable Guy's from, like, Ohio or something, okay? Don't let him fool you. He is in no way Southern. Anyway.
Or, you know, Pee Wee Herman, that voice, or Bobcat Goldthwait in that voice, that how they're so known for that one voice that every character they play had to have that voice. And no, that was every...
Every comedian, every, like... comedic actor or stand-up comedian or whatever in the, like, late 80s, early 90s seemed to have had some sort of gimmick voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. I don't know what it was about us that we wanted all of our comedians. And Jim Carrey started out that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Carrey started out with that very exaggerated, you know, if you watch him now, he's kind of like normal guy who has moments of weirdness. But at the time, it seemed like all comedians were kind of forced to put on a weird voice.
Yeah. You're the funny guy. You got to talk funny.
Some of them have dropped it since then. Bobcat Goldthwait no longer does that voice, mostly because it was killing his vocal cords and he wasn't going to be able to, like, speak at all if he didn't stop it.
And even Pauly Shore these days has kind of mellowed out that voice.
Yeah, Pauly Shore very rarely does that voice unless he's, like, asked to specifically do a line in that voice. But at the time, this was the only thing we knew about Pauly Shore, was that he did that voice. And I will give him that everyone who grew up with this movie has at one point or another attempted to make the Leaning Tower of Cheesa.
Scrumptious.
Yep.
His characteristic is that he talks like a surfer and he likes canned cheese.
The sad thing is I do have some canned spray cheese in the house right now. Shut up, it's the quarantine. But I was very tempted to attempt to make a Leaning Tower of Cheesa just to see if I could do it.
And then shove the whole thing in your mouth.
And then shove the whole thing in my mouth. Of course.
So let's move on to the next actor on our list.
Wallace Shawn, the
inconceivable,
a great Wallace Shawn. We'll get to that movie eventually. Don't worry, it's coming.
Disney owns it now.
Side note, I did just recently watch that on Disney Plus, and that, like, 4K conversion is gorgeous. Oh my god, I've never seen that movie look so good.
Of course, Wallace Shawn has his Disney connection. He is the voice of Rex in Toy Story.
Yes. This, I do believe, was his first animated voiceover.
He definitely has a voice for animation.
Yeah, he does have a voice for animation. I'm not sure he realized that. There is a famous story from the set of Deep Space Nine where Some actors were standing around. He was on set in his role as Grand Nagus Zek, and a couple of actors were talking about roles they had coming up and trying to figure out character voices because they'd been asked to do character voices. And Wallace Shawn just walked through and said, "I've never been asked to do a character voice. I don't know why."
He is a character voice.
So, yeah, it's like, poor, come on, Wally, you are the character voice. Come on. But anyway, he is in here in a rather small role, but sets off the plot as the principal.
Yeah.
Speaking of 90s sitcoms, we've got Jenna Von Oy.
Yes, as Stacy, Roxanne's best friend, who at this point would be best known as Six on Blossom. And yeah. She is literally playing Six from Blossom in this movie.
Yeah, she's got like the little Blossom style hat to her character.
Yeah, Six was known as a fast talker, and Stacy is a fast talker. So it's like she's literally playing Six from Blossom in this movie, only with glasses and Blossom's hat on. And I don't think that was a coincidence that it had her dressed like Blossom.
No, it was like, hey, you're going to recognize this. Six had a particular look, but a less immediately recognizable look in animation than Blossom did with the big hat. All right, moving on. Frank Welker.
Yep.
He's your childhood. Love him.
He is in everything. Name a cartoon, he's in it.
Have you ever liked a cartoon, kids? Frank Welker was in it.
Yep, and
he is Bigfoot in this one. Mm-hmm. Another animal role.
Yep.
His specialty.
Mm-hmm.
Probably best known animal role being Scooby-Doo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've also got Disney legend Joanne Worley, the wardrobe from Beauty and the Beast,
plays the
principal secretary.
Yep. We've got two well-known actors in this one. Joey Lawrence is back as Chad, I wouldn't call him a bully, but he's kind of an older kid in the school, very muscly, probably on the football team. And his girlfriend, Lisa, played by Julie Brown.
Yeah, great comedic actress and singer.
Their relationship in this movie must not be the best because Chad is hitting on Roxanne and Lisa hits on Max.
Yeah. Joey Lawrence, another one from Blossom.
Yeah.
So, Blossom represent all over this thing. And of course we have a cameo, Wayne Allwine.
Yep.
Who was playing Mickey Mouse in this one. He is a very short cameo and gets one line of singing during On the Open Road.
Donald Duck does make a cameo. He does not speak.
Yeah.
Sorry, Donald Tony. You don't get a check for this movie.
Yeah. And then we have Tevin Campbell as the voice of Powerline. The singing voice, because that's all we hear Powerline do. He is a singer and songwriter. He was kind of a
big deal in 95. Not much after 95, but in 95, he was kind of a big deal.
Yeah, he was on a lot of 90s shows like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Moesha and stuff like that. And he was also Seaweed in the Broadway musical Hairspray.
Mm.
So pretty good acting and singing cred there.
Considering this is 95, you think Tevin Campbell was inspired by Michael Jackson?
There seems to be kind of a mix of people who were really popular in the 90s. There's a little bit of Michael Jackson, especially with the moonwalk being like all over this movie. Prince.
Yeah.
Some of his vocalizations sound a lot like Prince. There's a bit of like MC Hammer in the dance moves.
And maybe the jumpsuit.
Yeah, and the jumpsuit too is very MC Hammer. So yeah, this is Powerline is kind of, hey, every 90s black pop star
in one character.
Shove them together.
Although there is a slight cameo, there's one character that has sticking his hand out of a limo wearing a sequined glove. I think we all know who he's supposed to be.
Yeah. So that kind of our cast for this one. Really good cast.
Yeah. Especially for this movie that was kind of made on a budget, kind of made by the TV animation team instead of the full movie animation team that we know of. And this one did not originally get a lot of love from Disney because I believe, according to what I'm finding out, this is one of the last movies that Katzenberg worked on before he left.
Yeah, this would have been about that time, so yeah.
So I can see Disney kind of like not really wanting anything to do with this since, you know, they did fire him.
Well, also, this wasn't a tentpole Disney animation movie. This was, we've got this TV show, some kids watch it, we want to get both wrap up that TV show and get a little bit of money. Mm-hmm. I think for a while they debated whether or not to make this straight to video or like a TV.
Yeah, this was
special.
This was designed to be a TV special, again, to wrap up the series. But I guess the powers that be liked what they were looking at to the point that let's release it in theaters.
Yeah, and it worked well. Like I said, I'm pretty sure I did see this in theaters and liked it. I mean, it worked on the big screen. The animation is still pretty good. I mean, it's better than some of the ones we've watched recently, and it holds up. Yeah, from the same era, it holds up very well.
I think it works for our generation because we were Max's age when this movie came out.
Yeah, 95. like almost exactly Max's age. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we kind of resonate with Max because Max is trying to become his own person, but at the same time you have the parent who just wants their kid to hang out with them and be their kid instead of and at that point Max doesn't want to be known as Goofy's kid. He wants to be known as Max, you know. And you know that for any kid that's something that every kid wants to go through. They don't want to be known as someone's kid. They want to be known as themselves. And that's kind of also most of the plot of Goof Troop is Max trying to find his identity.
Yeah, and you know every kid goes through that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think all parents have some sort of expectation, whether they admit it or not. I think every parent has some sort of expectation of how they want their child's life to go. Mm-hmm. And almost always that's going to run up against the hard wall of reality.
Yeah. There's the life you want for your kid and the life the kid wants for themselves.
And also, you know, I was thinking about it. This did play into something that kids our age were going through at school because the plot of this movie gets kicked off by the principal completely not understanding what the students are doing.
Yeah.
You know, Max tries to throw this fun little concert on the last day of school to impress his crush, and the principal takes it as he incited a riot, he destroyed property, and he's going to end up in jail and in the electric chair.
Yeah.
And it was that sort of, and he even, they even reference like the MTV generation and stuff like that. On the posters for this movie, the tagline they gave it was, "It's hard to be cool when your dad is goofy."
Yeah.
Which I love. But also it brings back one of the themes of the TV show is that Max is constantly embarrassed of his dad because his dad is both goofy in the general sense and goofy with a capital G.
Yes. His name is Goofy and he is a goofy.
GG Goofy Goof. canonically, according to the show, that is Goofy's full name. GG Goofy Goof.
Well, there is that George Geef name from, again, back in the 40s that he had for a little while.
Yeah, but I'm talking about just for Goof Troop.
At least it's not Dippy Dog.
Yeah. I like this because it also, it shows up several points in the show. if you remember Goof Troop, of Max being like absolutely horribly embarrassed by whatever shenanigans his dad got up to. And in this one, it's kind of the main plot.
Yeah.
Coming really to terms with that.
Yeah, this really does fit into the show story. Yes, it worked as a standalone. If you've never seen Goof Troop, this movie perfect as a standalone. But if you watched Goof Troop, this is the perfect finale for that show. So let's kind of get into the film. We start in this little dream sequence with Max running through a field. And like most teenage boys, his crush is literally on a pedestal.
Yeah, not subtle at all with that imagery.
No.
Don't do that. Don't put your crush on a pedestal. People are people. Even animated animals are people.
Yeah. And, you know, again, it's his little fantasy dream. So, of course, he's laying with her and they're having his own little laugh fest. And then the nightmare kicks in as he starts to transform in, like, a horror movie style. And he transforms into Goofy. I love, like, the music change in it. Like, they're making this really big, scary thing. He has these giant buck teeth. His feet bust out of his shoes. And you know, you see his snout growing. And he gets the bump on his head like Goofy has. And he starts laughing like Goofy. All the while, Roxanne is horrified. Again, this is Max's dream, so of course.
And it even ends with that giant yuck, you know. Yeah.
And it's like any kid is like the nightmare of becoming your parent.
Not a nightmare, it's a question I think that everybody goes through. Like, will I have the same life as my parents? Will I have a different life? You know, am I going to be able to do my own thing, or am I always going to have this expectation? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And now he's late for school, or late to plan this little thing that him and Pete and Bobby are planning. And
I love that he wakes up and he has one of the icons of the late 80s and 90s, that Mickey Mouse phone.
The Mickey Mouse phone.
Yeah.
So
Mickey
Mouse is a known entity in this world.
Well, yeah, you kind of guess that Mickey has, and the interesting thing is that they mention and see Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, because at one point Goofy says something about, I'm going fishing with my best friend. He says, Donald Duck. There's a Mickey phone, and then Goofy's keychain has the Disney D on it. And they specifically mention Walt Disney as a person.
Yeah.
So it's very weird about, like, what is the Disney company in this? Like, is Mickey is obviously well known enough to have merchandise.
Yeah.
That's in Max's room. And Goofy obviously knows Mickey and Donald. I mean, he at least knows Donald.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, what is this?
Now, granted, we would say, oh, these are just Easter eggs, haha. But, yeah, the overthinking person is like, you know, what is Mickey's role in this world, and why is he hitchhiking?
Remember that Kiki's main hobby is thinking too much about cartoons.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's also a few other Disney Easter eggs in there later in the movie where we're at Donald's job. There is a plush Bambi toy. There's also a plush lion that could be Simba. It's kind of, you know, the
Ariel makes a couple of cameos in this movie.
Yeah, there's a couple of references to Ariel, and there's the dragon from Pete's Dragon is also in that same plushy toy grouping.
And we start the in Max's room as Goofy kind of busts in to clean up the place without knocking, so it doesn't really And that is, and he kind of, Max kind of yells at him for that. Like, hey, you know, respect the privacy. You know, he's in there in his underwear. Granted, yes, you know, Goofy may have changed Max's diapers, but still, respect the privacy.
You know, I'm going to say this to parents. If you teach your children that even a parent should have to respect their privacy, they will be a lot less likely to accept people stepping over that line when they get older. Mm-hmm. If you teach them that even adults have to respect their privacy, they are a lot more likely to stand up for themselves later if somebody tries to take advantage of that. So maybe think about that when you're setting up how you relate to your children. The thing that I like, and this is the way that Max and Goofy have always had their relationship, is that Goofy very unwittingly ends up causing problems for Max.
Yeah.
Goofy is always shown as an incredibly attentive and loving father, at least he tries to be. Mm-hmm. But his kind of mannerisms and personal interests and everything, you know, he wants to come in there and vacuum and clean up the room, and he ends up destroying one of Max's prized possessions, yeah. His stand-up of power line. Mm-hmm. And it's not malicious, but it's just Goofy's trying to be helpful, but he doesn't stop to think about, does Max want this help? Is Max going to appreciate it, or is it going to be considered an invasion of privacy?
Yeah.
So other things to think about for you parents out there. So yeah, Goofy runs on to school. He's late, and we get our first big musical number.
Oh yeah, let's also forget that Goofy kind of kisses Max on the cheek as he's got off to school right in front of other classmates.
Yeah.
Gotta, you know, it's a trope. The parents are embarrassing the kid, and yeah. Yeah, our first musical number after Today, which I do love this song. It's like the perfect teenage song about life, you know. It's like, yeah, yesterday was a loser, but after today, I'll be cool.
Yeah, it is one of the quintessential, my life's gonna change, you know, good things just around the corner.
Is this his I Want song?
I do think we could call this an I Want song. He wants Roxanne. He wants to be considered cool. He doesn't want to be
a goof.
Yeah. So yeah, this is absolutely Max's I Want song. And as well as a kind of the school's I Want song, except the rest of the school just wants school to be over so they can start their summer.
Yep, and it's a lot of it is tropes, like the girls want to go shopping, the goth kids want to
go to pep rallies.
Yeah.
I was the kid that wore all black to the school color pep rally, so yeah. I get that deep down.
We get very obvious nerds wearing Star Trek uniforms because 90s.
Yeah, we were still making fun of that in the 90s.
Yeah.
Now nerds own the entire planet, so shut up.
The most watched movie of all time is a comic book movie.
Yeah.
Never forget that. Yes, and the comic book that they hold up is very much a Strange Tales Marvel style comic.
Yeah, it's absolutely a Marvel kind of ripoff there. But
foreshadowing.
Yeah. I will say that this is such a 90s school kid stereotype roundup.
Yeah.
This is, if you asked a kid in the 90s, like, name all the cliques in your school, it's like, well, you got the nerds and the jocks and the cheerleaders and the goth kids and, you know, like.
Yeah.
And I think today kids kind of have slightly different groupings. I think they're, you know, it's a little bit different. But this was absolutely what people in our generation thought school was. I kind of hate to invoke it considering recent things, but this was kind of our Hogwarts houses, you know?
Yeah.
You're the nerd, or you're the jock, or you're the, and you see it all the way through 80s movies, 90s movies, you know, it's just, it's there.
Yeah, and there's that scene there where Max is, you know, he gets distracted by the Powerline poster in the store, and he tries to wave to Roxanne, and she just walks on by like he's not there, and it's like, wow, walked right through me. But I don't blame her, because I'm nobody, but after today I'll be somebody.
Yeah, and Max has got a plan.
Yeah.
Max has got a plan for her to notice him.
Yeah, kudos to the bus driver whose plan for the summer is to sit on his butt. Like all of us have been doing since the start of this pandemic.
That bus driver would fare well during the quarantine.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of, you know, blink and you'll miss it gags. You see the graduates throwing their cats in the air. Max probably could have made the track team the way he ran that track.
Yeah, no kidding.
Another blink and you'll miss it moment. You see the two characters. What was it? Chad and what was the other character's name?
Lisa,
kind of making out before the bell rings. Again, we're not sure what the status of their relationship is, since they're both flirting with other people at points in this movie. But it's very much the scene right at the end of After Today on the bleachers. When I was a kid, that reminded me of Grease with the T-Birds on the bleachers.
Yeah. It was probably a thought in the animator's head. I would say it's close enough that I also got that idea.
Yeah. And he trips over the bleachers. So there goes that idea of being cool.
Yeah, he's got a similar accident-prone nature to his father.
Yeah.
And also, at the end of this scene, when he's talking to Roxanne, his voice starts to break a little bit. Sounds a little bit more like Goofy.
Yeah. It's again, it's a trope of the guy saying, you know, I'm fine, and then he sees the cute girl and goes,
continuing into his fear of becoming his father.
Yeah.
There
he laughs
at the end.
And then he just runs off. He's again, that plays into the nightmare he just had of turning into his father. And Roxanne is like, okay, what did I do? And when we find out that she actually likes his laugh.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I think that maybe not a lot of us understand as kids, and a lot of us don't even understand it as adults probably, is that the things you're always harshest on yourself about are sometimes the things that are most endearing to other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, I've got a mole on my face and that I... You know, I always hate seeing it in the mirror, but, you know, for that right person, maybe that mole is, like, the most adorable part of you, you know? Who knows? But I think that that's kind of what they're trying to get across with Roxanne here throughout the movie. But also, Roxanne is shown in Max's mind to be, like, this untouchable beauty who is constantly perfect and everything. But as we see her throughout the movie, we realize that, boy, Max has got that all wrong.
Yeah.
She's kind of shy and a little unsure of her speech and her manner. Her best friend is not exactly a popular girl, although everybody comes to her party because she's willing to pay for pay-per-view.
Yeah, pay-per-view.
Yeah, talk about 90s. The So, you know, it's obvious that Roxanne is not, like, she's pretty.
Yes.
She's a very attractive girl, but she's not exactly the popular girl, it seems, from the way.
She's well known, but she's not the most popular girl in school. People know her.
Yeah, again, but we see people hanging around, like, the cheerleaders and stuff more than we do her. She seems to have, like, that one friend.
We do see Chad talking up to her in the assembly. So, again...
Well, like again, I said, she's hot.
Yeah. So, it's like, you know, she's attractive, but maybe not as perfect as Max, and as Max fantasizes her to be. Again,
maybe not as charismatic.
Yes. Again, he did put her literally on a pedestal in his little fantasy.
Yeah.
So we see the plan in action involves audiovisual equipment, and I assume that Bobby is part of the AV club.
Yeah. Speaking of 90s.
Yeah.
Hi, kids. Remember when the AV club was a thing? And that cart. The big TV and the VCR that, you know, you were always happy when that cart came into your room because you were like, we're not doing any work today.
Oh, yeah, that was.
Movie day.
That is a total blast in the past for me, seeing that cart with a TV on it. And, Bobby isn't doing this for free. And his fee is that can of Cheese Whiz.
Yeah, that spray cheese there, the wonderful American invention of spray cheese.
Again, that's another 90s thing, right? I mean, it still exists today, but that was like everywhere in the 90s.
Yeah, kids in the 90s. And I have eaten spray cheese on almost everything. I've eaten spray cheese on like sweet tarts, turkey, peach cobbler. Yeah, I mean, I had a phase as a child where I just went, everything is better with spray cheese.
Yeah, so they have their little plan intact, and we see Stacy here kind of making some sort of speech, end of the year speech,
and it is boring.
Yeah. I always assumed, it's never stated in the movie, but I always assumed that she was like the valedictorian or something.
I always thought of her as more like the class president.
Probably.
Like that, you know, that one kid that like really campaigned hard, and she seems to be kind of rich because they can afford like a big screen TV and pay-per-view, which was not cheap in the 90s. So it does seem like her family is rich. So she seems like that kind of like, really driven kid that wants to be in politics and also has some money, so they just like buy their way into office.
Yeah,
that's so, always kind of how I thought of her.
So people know her, and they're like most kids in assembly, they're not paying attention to a word she says other than power line on pay-per-view at my house.
Yeah.
And because the nerd boys
are boring.
Yeah, the nerd boy kind of trying to flirt with her, and she's like, yeah, no. don't do that. Don't catcall people.
And don't heckle people.
Yeah.
They're up on stage. Don't heckle. Let them do their thing. And then the principal gets up.
To silence.
And sleep.
Yeah.
Like, everybody falls asleep as Wallace Shawn just drones on about how to make your summer productive.
The kids come up to me and say, Principal Mazur, how do I do things? Like, no student has come up to you and asked you anything, sir.
What's that Reddit, like, r/that definitely happened or whatever?
Yeah. Like,
sure, Principal Mazur, that happened.
Yeah, and
although I will say that I was the type of kid that would have gone to a science slumber party.
I was gonna mention the science slumber party. What do you think would happen at a science slumber party? Are they doing experiments in the bedrooms there?
Yeah, I think you just watch die all night long and do random experiments like, you know, baking soda volcanoes and stuff.
Potato batteries.
Making slime. Yes, we had slime when we were kids too. Except we called it gas.
So Max straight up sees Chad hitting on Roxanne, and he's just, okay, let's do this. He's moving in on my girl. Let's do this. Even though it's not your girl yet.
And what is this that they do?
They sort of start filming a music video backstage using some sets. Looks like a production of Peter Pan. Because there's a cardboard mermaid. There's a pirate ship. So I assume that at some point there was some sort of play based off Peter Pan at this school.
There is flight rigging.
Yeah, flight rigging. It must have been recent.
Yeah, that might have been their end of the year theatrical thing.
Yeah, the theater kids put on Peter Pan. Apparently there is a trap door on this high school stage. And poor Principal Mazur kind of just goes down.
You know, if you live in a better place than I lived, if you actually lived in kind of a high property value area where there was a little bit more interest in the arts in schools, that's a thing that some school auditoriums had, is the ability to do things like that on stage, because some plays do call for trapdoors and stuff like that.
Apparently this is also the gymnasium, because there's a basketball hoop in there.
Very, very common. I did a lot of plays in gymnasiums. The stage at the opposite end of the gymnasium from the permanent basketball hoop. And then you had the basketball hoop that you pulled down from the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was very much part of my childhood. So.
And we get into our second song, Stand Out, which sung by Tevin Campbell as Powerline, lip-synced by Max. As they filmed
best
a little...
song in the movie. Yeah. I'm going to call it best song in the movie.
We don't even get the full song. We get like half the song. Because there's
Stand
an entire
the best song in the movie.
There's an entire second verse that is not in this movie, but it is on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And Roxanne is all into Max as he's doing his dance. Like, she's twirling her hair. She's all acting like a fangirl. And Stacy is noticing this. So it's like, okay, she's into this dude.
She's making the googie eyes. She has the big giant googie eyes that she makes.
Yes.
When she sees him.
So I don't know if she's aware that that's Max doing it.
Think she is. I think she's immediately aware.
Because apparently none of the other students are aware that it's Max.
Well, remember that Max also said that the people don't really pay attention to him.
Yeah.
And when people don't really pay attention to you, you know, put on a pair of Superman glasses and it's like... Oh, look,
again,
it's Clark Kent.
Those shades are pure 90s as well. Those ski...
Mirror visor, whatever that was.
Macho Man glasses.
Yeah, Macho Man used to wear those. Yeah, there were a few, like, late 80s
like
new wave bands that kind of got into that look.
I mean, he looks like he's a member of Devo in that suit.
Yeah, like I said... for some reason we thought those looked futuristic.
Yeah.
Like that and jumpsuits were the look of the future. Like vinyl jumpsuits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 90s. Anyway, Max trips on some wires and falls right through the screen onto the stage, where every kid in school is there cheering him because it is an awesome thing that he's doing. Again, everyone there knows who Powerline is, so he's doing a Powerline song. Again, it's like the one shy kid in the talent show that does like the Michael Jackson song. And or you know, he was doing, you know, and he was doing that during
Madonna song,
yeah, during the it's like, you know, if you in during your high school talent show was doing Material World and you made it and you rocked that stuff.
I did not know many Madonna songs in the 90s. It took me about 10 more years to get around to Madonna. I was just discovering the Beatles in the 90s.
Dear Past Kiki, Madonna, Material Girl, let's make that happen. I think you could have rocked Material Girl back then. Anyway, let's just continue here. And he's just working it. He sees everyone's cheering him, and he's enjoying the attention, obviously. But
he does have that unfortunate goof clumsiness.
Yeah.
But his friends turn that into a positive.
Yeah, and he's straight on to Roxanne again. Stacy is fully aware of what's going on. She may not have known the plan, but she's fully aware of what's going on. He's looking at her. She's looking at him. And he continues
I love Pauly Shore in there giving him like smoke effects with the fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the big flight scene where they, you know, hook him up. That is not safe, kids. Use a proper flight harness, please.
Max is lucky this is a cartoon.
Yeah. Max is lucky this is a cartoon. Please take all proper precautions and have a trained stagehand if you are ever going to do flight in
the show. I love the line right there just before that. He looks straight at her. He starts singing to her. I'll give anything to let you know that to have you notice that I'm alive.
Yeah, he gets right in her face.
It's like, I like you. Please notice me.
Hi, I'm here. Please notice me. Hi, I like you. Your hair is pretty. It smells nice.
Yes, the typical awkward teenage stuff, flirting, and he kind of gets into the character here. You know, he's. And, he does the moon, like I said, he does the moonwalk.
That little shoulder shimmy is, like, totally MC Hammer.
Yeah. And, he gets hooked up, he does the fly, he dunks the basketball, and unfortunately, apparently, Principal Mazur has made it back from the Abyss, and he has shut the whole thing down.
Yeah, and Max is just kind of hanging there by his belt.
Yeah, right before he touches her hand, too. It's like, denied! And the shades come off, and then everyone realizes it's Max. And you hear that one person say, it's that goof kid!
Yeah, Max is, like, absolutely destroyed by that. Like, it didn't work.
Yeah.
And now he thinks he's lost the girl forever.
We're busted! Again, that's pure Pauly Shore in that voice. Again, as he's doing that, there's a cardboard cameo of Ariel as the mermaid in Peter Pan.
Yep. So to the principal's office they go, and the principal is not pleased. PJ is upset because his dad is not understanding in the slightest because his dad is Pete.
Yes. The entire thing going into this thing is that, if my dad finds out about this, I'm dead. If my dad finds out about this, I'm dead. I don't think Pete ever physically abused PJ, but he clearly is emotionally abusing him.
He yells all the time.
Throughout the original show and this movie.
And he also believes in tough discipline and grounding and making them do chores and, you know. Maybe don't train your kids to think of housework as a punishment, because as they grow up, they're really going to hate housework.
Yeah.
It's okay. I think the best tactic, and the way I had to retrain myself in my brain as I grew up, mm-hmm. was this is not the most fun thing I do in my day, but it is a necessary thing.
Yeah.
And it's an excuse to, and PJ gets this later in the movie, it's an excuse to put on some music and dance while you vacuum or do the dishes or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe take that tactic instead of you're punished, so now you have to vacuum the house.
We find out that Koopy has a job. I don't know if he had a job in the original show or what the job, if I forget what his job was, but according to this movie, he's a photographer.
He is, let's not mince words here. He is the photographer at the Kmart photography studio.
Yeah. I mean, don't remember Kmart. I mean, yeah.
No. I worked at a Kmart. This is a Kmart. They have the blue light special. That was Kmart. The photo center, yes, they had them at Sears, but they also had them at Kmart. We still had one going when I worked at Kmart, although it shut down shortly after I left, because that was like early 2000s.
So you see him working the photo booth. Kind of a thing is that they kind of bring this back for DuckTales. When Goofy made a cameo appearance, they mentioned that he's a photographer.
Hmm. I have not gotten to that episode yet, not gonna lie. I think it's interesting that Pete is apparently like the manager of the Kmart or something.
Either the Kmart or the photo booth.
Maybe. I'm not entirely sure. It might be like a separate company that rents space.
Possibly.
Inside of it. I don't know.
But Pete being Goofy's boss, that works so well. It's kind of like the Biff Tannen, George McFly relationship.
Yeah. But what we see here is that Goofy is extremely good with small children.
Yes.
We never see him really being good with teenagers, but small children he's good with.
Kudos to the animators for actually having the little girl's eyes turn red when the flash hits.
Yeah. it's a good subtle thing.
But Pete doesn't exactly have the same finesse with children that Goofy does.
No, because Pete takes that direct tactic. Yeah. I have given you an order. Now, child, you will act how I, you know. Goofy is more flexible in how he approaches an upset child.
Yeah. And they actually mentioned this later in the film, is that when Goofy tries to be disciplinary with Max, Max just resists. And but when Goofy relaxes it and actually lets Max be himself, that they actually click.
I'm going to say something that's going to depress everybody out there if they never thought about it before, but the reason that Pete finds it works on PJ is because I guarantee you that that boy is traumatized. Throughout the entire series, he lives in such terror of his father. Mm. That's not normal, and it's not healthy.
Probably why Peg divorced him.
Probably. But, you know, Goofy, while he is a father, and while Max is worried about getting in trouble with his father, he's never shown to be afraid of his father.
Well, PJ is definitely afraid of Pete.
Yeah.
Look at the face that PJ gives as he's leaving the principal's office. Like, it's not a joke. He legitimately believes that Pete will murder him once he gets home.
Yeah. So I don't think it's that Goofy is not a good disciplinarian. It's that, like, Max is a normal person who hasn't been broken, and when you treat somebody like that, they tend to push back. Like, excuse me, no. That's not how you treat people. Whereas I think PJ has just been broken by that's all he's known since he was a baby.
Yeah.
Sorry, didn't mean to depress you, but, you know, there you go.
I do like Bobby, as he's going into the principal's office, he gives Max the spray cheese saying, guard it with your life.
Yeah, because you don't want that crap taken away. That's expensive.
Yeah. And, of course, he actually calls the principal bro.
Yeah.
That, like, he's trying to be confident in, like, hey, Major, my bro, my man. So, here's what happened.
Yeah. They all get calls home to their parents, it looks like.
Yeah.
And Goofy gets a call at the photo shop there. And Mazer just starts screaming about your child led a riot and he's going to end up in jail and in the electric chair.
Yeah, they emphasize that. He'll be in the electric chair.
And Goofy just takes this as like, he does question it, but he never actually asks Max what happened. And I think this is the big overwhelming kind of lesson of this movie, is that Goofy and Max do not communicate at all in this movie. Like, all of the problems in this movie could have been solved by just having a 5-minute talk.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, I wasn't leading a riot. What I did was I tried to do a music video to impress a girl I like. Oh, well, that sounds normal. You know, like, I mean, not normal, but, you know, it sounds
reasonable.
Reasonable. It sounds harmless enough.
I wasn't supposed to even be on stage, Dad. It just happened.
Yeah. I tripped and some stuff got broke. It wasn't intentional. Okay. Also reasonable, especially to Goofy, who does that literally every 5 seconds.
Yes.
You know, Goofy decides that the reasonable response to this is to take Max on a fishing trip and reconnect with his son and get his son away from horrible influences or whatever.
Yeah.
And Max doesn't want to go because as he's leaving the principal's office, what happens?
He actually asks out Roxanne.
She asks him out.
Yeah, she asks him. And I love how Stacy is like perfect wing woman.
Yeah, good for Stacy.
Like, she's saying, go talk to him, you know, tap him on the shoulder, and...
And
you know,
she pulls Roxanne away before it gets too awkward.
Yeah.
Because Roxanne is not good at this either, we find out.
Well, she's probably never had a date either.
Yeah,
She's a well-known person in the school, but that doesn't mean she has an active social life.
Yeah. So they make a date to go watch Powerline over at Stacy's house. Yeah. And as soon as Max gets home, Goofy has packed up the car and says they're going on weeks-long vacation to go fishing.
In Idaho.
Sure.
Now, Lake Destiny, Idaho. They specifically say it's Idaho. Now, if you actually... it's never stated. We know the city that they live in is called Spoonerville, if you want to watch Goof Troop. But it's never stated where Spoonerville is. You have to kind of guess by the map that we see. It's maybe in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Just judging by the map, that Spoonerville is somewhere in the Midwest.
Yeah, a lot of cartoons in the 90s were kind of set in the vague location of like Chicagoapolis, Troit, you know, it's like somewhere vaguely in the Midwest of the United States, but near a big city.
Yeah. I mean, the Simpsons in Springfield. We never tell which Springfield, it's just Springfield.
But like, even in this, you know, they live in this suburb and you never really see tall skyscrapers, but when they're leaving, they're passing through like a massive city with huge skyscrapers on a freeway with many, many interchanges. At this point, you know, Max finds out that Goofy has planned this entire vacation like on a whim without him.
Yeah.
And Max is trying to say like, no, you don't understand. There's a party. And, you know, and Goofy's like, oh, well, there'll be other parties when you're older. When I was your age, I hadn't even been to a party.
Yeah, and that is the most depressing thing Max hears. It's like, of course you haven't.
Yeah.
Because your dad's goofy.
But the thing is like, this entire movie could have been stopped if he's like, no, Dad, I have my first date. First date is going to be, you know,
At this party,
I need to go. There is a way too hot girl for me. Have you seen this girl, Dad? She is way out of my league. You know, if Goofy had stopped talking for just a second and let Max finish that thought, I don't think Goofy would have continued to do this. But on top of what the principal said, now he's thinking my boy is going to go to like a wild, crazy party where they're going to get drunk and break things. And
oh, there's a girl there. Oh no, my son could do naughty things. My sweet angel boy.
Yeah, so I think that if they'd both just sat down and had a 10-minute conversation,
we wouldn't have a movie.
Yeah, this entire movie would be pointless. Which I think a lot of movies in the 80s and 90s were built around that same conceit.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know, talk to your kids. Might be a good idea. You could try it.
Couldn't hurt.
Yeah.
But at least Goofy gives Max the opportunity to talk to Roxanne, to talk to this girl, and let her know that he's not going to be able to make this date.
Yeah.
He could have just, okay, we're going now. No one's talking to anybody. We're out of here.
Yeah.
And of course we meet Roxanne's father, this very big bulldog.
I think we're supposed to get the idea that he's like former military or something.
Like he never he's says got a word.
That kind of bearing and that buzz cut haircut.
Yeah. It's the old trope of, you know, anyone comes for my daughter, I got a shotgun and all that shit. All that stuff.
Yeah.
Which, again, not healthy either.
Yeah. Not healthy. Maybe don't act like most of the parents in this movie is what we're saying. Yeah. But there is one thing Max says that like really hit me. I don't think I understood it as a child when I saw it, but rewatching it as an adult, it was one of those like, oh my goodness, I totally understand this disconnect now. Because Goofy says, hey, we're going to like go out into the woods. We're going to go camping. We're going to go fishing and we're going to get away from it all. And Max responds, but I like it all.
Yeah.
And as a child, I was like, yeah, I don't know. I never understood why adults were so obsessed with children getting away from it all or families getting away from it all. And I'm like, you know, because we'd go on things and I was made to go to summer camp and I always hated it and stuff. But it's like, no, but at home there's like a TV and all of my friends are there. What friends I had, which was kind of sparse, but you know,
there were people. All my stuff is here, you know?
Yeah. There was, you know, my pets or whatever. Okay. Yeah. And it's like, you want me to leave all of the stuff that makes my life better? You know, it's like, well, when I'm not in school, this is the stuff that makes my life enjoyable.
Yeah.
And you want to take me to a place that is completely devoid of all that stuff so we can, quote unquote, get away from it all. But as an adult now, I'm like, oh my goodness, I want to turn off my phone so my boss can't email me. I don't want to see a single piece of news because it's all too depressing. I want to go somewhere where, like, the mailbox isn't just another bill.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't want to get away from, quote, it all. You want to get away from capitalism. There you go. Adults want to get away from capitalism. Kids don't have that problem yet. So they don't understand why adults always want to, like, go somewhere where nobody can contact them. And of course in the 90s it was way worse because you had long distance phone calls that cost a lot, and nobody really had cell phones unless you were, like, super rich. You know?
And they were huge.
And they were huge, and their battery lasted, like, 40 minutes, and it cost $150 for a phone call. You know, it's like...
Yeah, for the different time in the 90s. And
so, like, yeah. If you went away to summer camp, you were away to summer camp.
Yeah.
Like, you may get, if you were... Most of the summer camps I went to were not too far away, so they didn't have, like, long-distance phone charges. Like, they were still in the same county or whatever. But a few of them, you know, you were, like, 4 or 5 hours from home by car. That was definitely a long-distance phone call. Maybe one time while you were at camp, you got... you know, enough change to use the payphone to call home for a couple of minutes just to say I'm okay. Mm-hmm. But you definitely didn't get contact with friends.
Yeah.
Unless they were there with you at the same camp, which my friends never were. One time. I will retract that. One time I had friends with me at a summer camp. So... that really hit me as an adult. Of like, I finally get this trope.
You know, this particular day turned out to be like the best day in Max's life. And right when everything is going right, Goofy has to throw the monkey wrench in and ruin everything.
Yeah, talk about getting the rug pulled out from under you. Like, Dad, I got a date with it. Never mind.
And you know, the defeat in Max's voice that he said, I gotta cancel my first date in an hour. And it's like, oh, poor Max. He's so heartbroken.
Yeah, and I kind of kept wanting to say, like, turn around to your dad and tell him the importance of this occasion.
I think he already has. He's already said that, you know, he's talking to this girl. I think Goofy knows at this point, because he's like, hey, there's this girl.
You know. Does Goofy know that it's, like, a date? Or does Goofy just think, like, Max has a crush on a girl and he wants to go to this party to be near this girl, but this girl doesn't know who he is. Like, he's just going, it's fine. He can come crush on her later. Like, I don't think Goofy is fully aware of the, like, no, Dad, this girl likes me back.
And you can kind of also feel for Roxanne, because Roxanne really does like Max. And the fact that Max is going there saying, hey, my dad wants to go out of town, so I can't make it to the party. How defeated she looks. How defeated she sounds.
Yeah. And all her thing about, like, well, I guess I can find somebody else to go. Like...
the guilt trip. Yeah. Hey, Chad, you're back in the game.
Yeah. But, you know, kids don't generally have too much control over what parents do, you know? Yeah. And it was kind of like, I didn't really like Roxanne doing that, because I'm like, what choice does this kid have? Look over there. The dad has already packed everything they own onto top of that car. Like, Max does not get a choice. Like, you can be mad at his dad. You can be, like, devastated, sure. But I'm not sure you can really blame Max. Like, what's he going to do? Like, run away?
Yeah, and this kind of puts Max in a really bad position and kind of forced to lie. Saying, oh, he's taking me to the Powerline concert. That's why we're going on this trip. And he knows Powerline and I'm going to meet him and all that stuff. And it's like...
we're going to dance with him on stage. You'll be able to see me on TV. Like, oh, Max, shut up, boy.
You're just piling it on, Max. Piling it on.
Please stop talking.
He could have just simply said, hey, my dad won tickets at a radio contest and we're going to the concert. Even that's still a lie, but it's at least a believable lie.
And she has no real way to verify that.
Yeah.
You know, he could have just bought a CD or something and scribbled on it and been like, look, I got Powerline's autograph. Like, she would have had no way of knowing. Like,
well, why don't you have a t-shirt? Well, we spent all our money on gas. We didn't have any more money for souvenirs.
Yeah. If you're gonna lie, at least keep your lies believable and small, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Lying is still bad, but at least just don't lie. I think that's kind of the point this movie's trying to pick. Don't lie to people you care about.
And they set it up like, oh, Max had no other choice but to lie because she was so disappointed. I'm like, no, you had a lot of other choices. You picked the bad one.
Because he's trying to be cool. He wants Roxanne to think that he's cool, even though she already likes him because he's a dork.
Yeah, it's like you already had the girl. She already told you she liked you before. Like, stop. So Goofy, you know, Goofy drags him off, and Roxanne's like, I'll see you on TV at the concert. And Max is immediately like, oh, I am screwed.
Yeah.
And yes, you generally would be in any other context, but you're the protagonist in a Disney film, so.
Yeah.
So
Goofy tries to make some connections with his. Obviously, Max is just completely devastated. He doesn't want to be on this trip, and Goofy's trying to make the best of it, and they try to play some card games, and it's not working because, again, Max doesn't want to be there at all.
And Max turns on the radio to get away from it all, and Goofy decides to put in an 8-track.
Of course Goofy has an 8-track player. Of course Goofy has an 8-track player in his car. He probably bought that car in the 70s.
And they end up fighting over the music so much it blows up the entire radio.
And of course the song is that Goofy plays on his 8-track is High Hopes.
Yeah.
Only... obviously because of the word oops.
Yep. But this leads into another musical number.
On the open road.
On the open road. Where everybody's singing about how happy they are to be on the open road except for Max and one prisoner that they run across.
And apparently this song is so good, it brings the dead back to life.
And Max says, I wish I was going with you. That's dark, Max.
We get our cameo from Mickey Mouse, who's hitchhiking again. Why
along with Donald.
Along with Donald, California Airbus, and a little speed up. We actually see Mickey at the Powerline concert.
Yeah. So you wonder if Mickey is well-known enough to have a phone made out of him, why he can't get another ride to California?
Yeah.
Like, why is Mickey not on a private jet to California?
Yeah. Yeah, he has an infamous cameo for this movie. Yeah. It's in his contract. He needs to be in at least one movie.
It's a Disney movie. You will not do it without the mouse.
And of course, there's obviously the cowgirls that both Goofy and Max are staring at because they're guys. And they're kind of pushing their cleavage. And again, this is a children's movie. Yes. But the ones I want to talk about are these nuns. They are like everywhere that Goofy and Max are. Go through this entire movie. These nuns are in the background after the open road scene. What is their story? And why are they going to the Powerline concert?
I don't know. Nuns have got a nun. I don't know.
I don't know. Because, yeah, I mean, they're at the diner. I think they're also at the amusement park. Like, they're, wherever Goofy and Max stay at, those nuns are there. It's just weird. It's just one of those things that you don't notice until you've watched this movie after so long.
Can I point out that, you know, the internet wasn't exactly like it was, today, you know, in 95, but there was the internet.
Yeah.
The funny thing is if you, Google like pictures of, the nuns to see all their cameos and stuff, you actually find an old Usenet post from 95 about people discussing, did anybody else see all the nuns? Isn't that weird? there's like a whole thread of people being like, yeah, I just took my kids to see this movie and there were nuns everywhere in this movie. Why is that?
I want to see their movie. So, after the open road song, which is a great, it's a nice little road song number. It's no Moving Right Along, but and you know, Goofy almost kills someone by running through a scaffolding, complete with Wilhelm scream.
Yeah, Wilhelm scream. Know it, love it, use it.
So yeah, they. Go ahead.
But yeah, we get the fun little Country Bear Jamboree kind of scene.
Yeah, we've been talking about Disney making fun of itself. This is definitely Disney making fun of itself with the animatronics, and it is the Country Bear Jamboree. They end up at this possum park, this little
Lester's Possum Park.
Lester's Possum Park. It feels like it's some sort of combination of well, it's very obviously Disney making fun of itself. It kind of feels like also making fun of Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, it's a sort of Chuck E. Cheese, sort of really kitschy roadside attraction.
Yeah.
That you find, like, everywhere in rural America.
Which kind of adds to the idea of this being in the Midwest.
Yeah. And also, they are definitely somewhere very rural, because there are a lot of, like, look at these hillbillies enjoying this substandard entertainment.
Yeah,
you know, which is not, I don't particularly like this scene. It feels a little like punching down to me.
Yeah, I mean, this is 90s humor.
I do like the fact that the entrance to the park is a dead possum upside down with its mouth open.
Yeah. Cave of Wonders, this is not.
Yeah. And I love the parent tracking the screaming child and like, please don't make me go. If we have Australian listeners, Google American possums. They're not adorable. This is the one thing that Australia has the adorable version of, and America has the will murder you in a second.
Of course, the other funny bit is the malfunctioning animatronic, the one that doesn't come up all the way and explodes halfway through the song.
Yeah.
Again, just Disney making fun of non-Disney animatronics, I guess.
I don't know. But we have Max's worst nightmare, which is that he's embarrassed by his dad and everybody laughs at him.
Yeah.
You know, Goofy draws him into a dance thing. Max gets a possum thrown in his pants and...
Yeah.
Anyway.
Of course, we have the big rule break here. If you are a costume character, you do not talk.
Well, in Disney parks, you do not talk. That's not true of just every park ever. I've known a lot of places with costume characters that will talk to you. But in Disney, no, the costume characters don't really talk. No.
And Max just smacks him upside the head and a bunch of kids just mob him.
Yeah, I love the character being dragged away by a mob of feral children in the background.
That's a Six Flags moment right there.
That is a good gag.
Yeah, and yeah, like I said, it's Max's worst nightmare of Goofy just dragging him into this embarrassing situation. And she's the one kid. Oh, it's Goof and Dork and Dork Jr.
Yeah. But the thing is that you do kind of feel bad for Goofy in a way, because he keeps talking about how this was his favorite thing from his childhood.
Yeah, this is his... It's the same... at least we kind of skipped over, but this is the same road trip that him and his father took.
Yeah. But this, you know, Goofy is trying to share part of himself with Max.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate thing is that sometimes when you're really little, you don't really understand why parents try to do that. You know, I know, my dad would take me places and would try to tell me like why it was so important to him and stuff. And I would just be like, oh, this is so boring. Why are you telling me things? I do not care, you know? Yeah. And as an adult, I have more positive associations, I guess, with that. And wish I'd kind of understood when I was a kid a little bit more, like, what was going on there, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing is going to be true for Max as he grows up, is he's going to look back on it and be like, oh, I really wish I'd have let myself enjoy that possum park more, because my dad was trying to share a part of his childhood with me, you know?
But yeah, here Max is so embarrassed. He's literally hitchhiking to get away from Goofy.
Yeah. But, you know, they get back together and they end up gonna do some fishing.
Yeah.
And who shows up?
Pete. In his souped up RV.
I want that RV. I have wanted that RV since I was a kid. I still want it even more now as an adult.
I love that they ended up using Flight of the Valkyries as he's coming in. And knowing Pete, he probably has that blasting out of his sound system.
Yeah, it was probably like an extra upgrade for the... This little puppy will fit 75 people. It has a full-length Olympic-sized swimming pool, a bowling alley, and it'll play Flight of the Valkyries every time you show up somewhere.
Yeah, and apparently Pete took Goofy's advice of having a road trip with his kid. But also, like Max, PJ kind of probably doesn't want to go, but like you said, PJ is so traumatized, he's not going to say no. He doesn't have the choice in a more threatening way than Goofy and Max would be.
Yeah, and Pete gets to like hang out and go bowling and go swimming. And what is PJ doing on the vacation? Vacuuming the inside of the RV.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. As you were saying, you know, Pete is, he's waxing the floor, dancing to, Stand Out. And he's, as he says, he's got the moves.
Yeah. This movie kind of needed more PJ in it to me. PJ was always my favorite character in Goof Troop.
Yeah.
And it focuses so much on Max and Goofy in the car that you don't really get a lot of PJ in this. But I always liked PJ.
I would have liked if they had done more of a plot, B plot, where you kind of flip between the two families. But it probably would have been more depressing with PJ.
Yeah. I have a feeling that PJ's summer vacation was not nearly as interesting as Max's. So, yeah, they're finally there. They get to go fishing. And this is what Goofy brought him out there for, to share the Goof family secret.
The perfect cast.
We never actually see this result in fish.
No.
Yeah, we never see them actually catch fish with this technique, although it does become important later in the movie.
Yeah. And apparently, again, talked to him by his father.
He says it has been like 12 or 13 generations of goofs that have used this technique.
Again, we don't know how well. I also believe that it didn't work because the creek is a lot smaller than the cast is going.
Yeah. But Goofy does catch something better than a river fish.
He catches the steak first because Pete's barbecuing.
Well, that's what I meant. He catches a giant steak. Unfortunately, he doesn't realize it and keeps throwing the cast. At which point he catches
Bigfoot. I just love how I love Jason Marston's saying that the way he said it.
Yeah.
Could you please book Mac, Mr. Foot? You're in the shot.
Yeah.
Again, we did skip over that, but Goofy is, at least for the first half of his trip, is filming everything on what looks to be an old black and white camera.
Yeah, he's trying to get some sort of home movie.
And yeah.
Pete just runs.
Yeah. If you saw Bigfoot chasing anyone, would you get out of there?
Well, I'd probably be like, get in the RV and then run. But I'm not sure that I would, like, leave my next door neighbor to fend for themselves. It's been a long time since I've had a neighbor I've hated that much that I would leave them at the hands of a rampaging Bigfoot.
Well, I don't think Pete hates Goofy. He just doesn't really care about him.
Yeah. Max and Goofy end up trapped in the car as Bigfoot rampages around and tries to find food.
I do like the thought that, oh, hey, it's Bigfoot and we have the only video footage of Bigfoot's existence. We're going to be rich! And then Bigfoot just destroys the camera.
We're still poor! That would be my life.
Everything good that happens to Max ends up being kind of going sour in this movie.
Yeah, but as the old trapped in a small space trope from all 90s sitcoms kind of comes back to play here. And they have a good heart-to-heart.
Yeah.
Goofy talks about how much he loved certain things Max did when he was a kid, like sending him messages in his alphabet soup.
Yeah. Which Max has no memory of, apparently.
Well, do you really have a lot of memories from before you were, say, 8?
No, not really.
Yeah, most people don't. It's very rare. There is apparently something in the brain that kind of wipes your memory around age 7 or 8, and then you start forming new long-term memories. So it's very rare for people to have memories before that age when they're an adult, and if they do, it's usually like really important, you know, either traumatic or really important big memories, like you had something really good happen to you. And all, I apparently appear to be in the minority because I do have long-term memories that go back as far as when I was in a high chair. Mm. Yeah, it's very strange. This softens Max a little bit, and Max sends him a nice message in his alphabet soup again, Goofy falls into happy sleep.
Yeah. Of course, the fun thing is that during all of this, I assume it's Max's Walkman lands on Bigfoot's ears. So why Max would have the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack on it, I don't know.
Hey, Max knows what's good. Come on. Max has decent taste in music.
So we do get kind of a cameo of the Bee Gees in this movie with Staying Alive.
As Bigfoot dances around and does the John Travolta dance routine in the background as Max and Goofy are having their heart-to-heart.
How does Bigfoot know? I mean, I know it's a joke, but how did Bigfoot know?
You don't know what Bigfoot's life is like, okay? You don't know him. Don't act like you do.
That's true.
He could be going to the movie theater every week.
Like Kermit in the swamp, right?
Like Kermit in the swamp, okay? You gotta do something when you're a Bigfoot stuck out in the middle of nowhere.
Also, one thing I do like is the Goofy uses his buck teeth as a can opener.
Yeah, and Max is impressed. He's like, oh, where are you? Again, I think Max is thinking ahead of, like, I'm gonna be able to open so many beers.
That would be like, you know, the that should have been in the sequel, in the college. But again, this is still a Disney movie.
Yeah, still a Disney movie aimed at kids. Anyway.
So we never. Oh well, we're skipping ahead. We actually have Max actually writing a letter to Roxanne, apologizing, straight up, coming clean.
I lied to you. Yeah.
And he just decides, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that.
And instead, he decides to change the map to make his dad take him to Los Angeles instead of Idaho.
That is worse than what he was doing before.
Yeah. But the next day, they've had such a heart-to-heart. Goofy says, oh, I'm going to trust you as navigator now, Max.
We never find out how they get away from Bigfoot.
And Bigfoot just leaves. Bigfoot ate his fill. He slept on the car a little bit, and the next morning he left.
Yeah.
But Goofy is now, he feels closer to Max, so he's not going to look at the map anymore. You tell me where to go, and we'll go there. And they end up having a lot of fun.
He even allows Max to choose the stops.
Yeah, so they go to an amusement park. They go visit
the truck rally.
Apparently. I don't know how they get to New Orleans, but okay, sure.
They go to a baseball game. They go to a monster truck rally.
Yeah. Nice little montage of stuff either Max or Goofy or both of them like. You know, sometimes we're doing something Goofy like, sometimes Max, sometimes both of them seem into it. But it actually turns into what looks like a fun road trip now.
Yeah. They're actually bonding, in a way.
Yeah. And, you know, that's how road trips are.
Yeah.
Sometimes you stop because one person wants to stop there. Sometimes you stop a place a different person wants to stop. But overall, it kind of averages out. And if you're on a decent road trip, everybody has enough fun that it, you know, everybody has a good time.
And they end up at this under the sea style motel.
Yeah, like Neptune's Castle or something like that.
Yeah. And again, another cameo for Ariel.
As a light switch.
Yeah.
And who shows up right then but Pete and PJ.
Yeah. And they're gonna plug their RV into their hotel room or their motel room to kind of get a recharge. The thing is, there are motels that do that. Not necessarily.
Yeah, but Pete is like a cheapskate. Yeah. So he's leeching off of Goofy instead of paying for his own hookup fee.
Yeah.
With
a very, very awkward pipe that's leaking.
Yeah. Ew. But PJ and Max get to have a little watch some Powerline music videos on the MTV.
Yeah.
But Pete overhears Max telling PJ how he's tricking his father into taking him to the Powerline concert.
Yeah.
And Pete goes back, and of course, you know, Pete's gonna love rubbing Goofy's face in that.
Yeah.
Your kid lied to you.
You need to be like me, discipline your kid, keep him under your thumb. You know, that's why my son respects me and he'll do whatever I say. No, your son doesn't respect you. Your son fears you.
Yeah. Respect and fear, not the same thing.
And of course, the most scariest set of them all is Pete and his Speedo.
Yeah, that's the animation on that is a little weird, too. So I was a little off put by that animation, I'm going to say. But, you know, getting back on the road, we say goodbye to Pete and PJ, and Goofy and Max are at a fork in the road. They're at an interchange. Which way do we go? Do we take the one that says toward Ohio or the one that says towards California?
Yeah.
And Max picks California, and Goofy realizes that Pete was right. Max has betrayed him.
And the face they animate on Goofy, like, this is the first time you've ever seen Goofy ticked off. Like, Goofy has never, they've never done that with any, you know, Goofy is, even when Goofy is angry, he's never drawn that
way. Yeah, it's
way.
Always for comedy. when Goofy is angry, but in this one, it's like he's devastated. His child has lied to him and taken what he thought was a fun road trip and a bonding experience and turned it into a selfish act and all. But I like that steps away from the situation. You know, he pulls the car over and he walks away to calm down before he talks to Max, because you don't want to yell at Max.
And it looks like they're in the Grand Canyon based off the rock formations.
It could be. I've read some places say it was the Grand Canyon. I've read some places just say somewhere in the Southwest. But I don't know. It's definitely a canyon filled area with a river at the bottom. So let's say Grand Canyon.
Yeah. So and Max is trying to like explain the situation and Goofy isn't having it. It's mostly because, you know, you betrayed my trust. Yeah. I'm trying to understand this, but right now I'm too mad at you to talk. But yeah, even then, Goofy's upset because, oh, no, you know, you think I'm stupid. You know, that's...
Did you think I wasn't going to notice that we're going to an entirely different geographical area?
You know, do you think I didn't notice that we were going the wrong way? A route that I've taken my entire young life but my own father?
Yep. This isn't Goof Troop without the Goof. Yeah. So, of course, Goofy forgot to put the parking brake on, and the car starts to roll.
And a long-running gag in the movie is that Goofy always locks the car, so they can't get in.
In general, you should lock the car.
The acting on Bill Farmer for this angry Goofy is amazing. And again, you've never had Goofy like that before or since.
Yeah, I do like the way Goofy is portrayed, not only throughout Goofy movie, but Goof Troop as a whole. Mm-hmm. There's actually more depth to Goofy. I'm not sure that I've ever been a fan of kind of one-note characters. Mm-hmm. As much as I kind of wish they wouldn't give Donald as much dialogue as they do in the new DuckTales, because I still can't understand him. I do like that they've given him more personality. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a more well-rounded character. He's not just angry screaming duck, you know?
I love the fact that they made Donald an emo kid in the 90s.
Yeah. But I like the same thing about Goofy. In the Goof Troop kind of, he's more rounded as a character. He's got more interests. Mm-hmm. He's got more emotional depth. He has like a whole life. He's not just a one note slapstick joke.
Yeah.
Which I think he was a lot of times in the older cartoons.
Yeah.
Especially, I don't know. I like depth in my characters in general. So,
well, they kind of made him the dumb guy, especially by giving him that, you know, Goofy has a southern accent, you know. So,
yeah,
you know, but at least they had him more, you know, competent, I guess would be a word, even though he's still Goofy.
Yeah, he's like a normal dad who's kind of klutzy.
Yeah.
In Goof Troop, which I kind of like. I mean, he's an embarrassing dad, of course, you know, but, he seems more relatable, which I like. So yeah, they end up in the car, which, falls into a ravine, which ends up in a river, which ends up with them having an entire musical number.
Nobody else but you. I'm surprised that the car can float.
You know what? It's Goofy's car. The amount of stuff it does. I've stopped being surprised.
Yeah. So they actually have a heart-to-heart talk, the talk that they should have had at the beginning of the movie.
Where, yeah, you know, a song, because it's a Disney movie.
Well, yeah, and it's straight up, you know, it's like, I just wanted to spend time with my boy. It's like, I'm not your little boy anymore. I know you're not. I know you're growing up. I just want to be part of your life. And it's that talk that these two, they're trying to connect. They're trying to, you know, Goofy still wants to be part of his son's life, even though his son is growing up and having his own life, his own wants, his own dreams.
I like this song, but I think the resolution of it is a bit one-sided. I think that at the end, Max understands Goofy's feelings on it. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be part of your life, but the problem is that Goofy doesn't take the time to understand why Max did what he did.
Yeah.
But you do find out that after the song, they kind of continue the heart-to-heart, and Goofy realizes, like, okay, well, you know, we're supposed to impress a girl now, you know? Like, let's go to L.A. and impress a girl. But there's one problem.
Waterfall.
Waterfall. There's always a waterfall. Even if you're at the bottom of a ravine, there's still going to be a giant waterfall over a cliff at the bottom of a ravine. Anyway.
Yeah.
Cartoons.
Yeah, and they lose the car. Don't worry, they get it back. But, somehow. Yeah. And Max saves Goofy by doing the perfect cast.
It turns out he was paying attention.
Yeah. But I still don't know how doing I'm a Little Teapot makes you a better fisherman, but whatever. Cartoon.
Sure. Cartoon.
And so they somehow made it to L.A.
Yeah, we gloss over that entirely. It's like they're floating down and they're like, yay, we're not going to die. And then the next thing we know, they're in L.A. backstage at the Powerline concert.
Yep. And
cartoon,
yeah. And that's their plan. They're gonna get him somehow, get Max on stage. They don't know how, but they're gonna make it happen. And they get immediately split up because Max is distracted by Powerline's backup dancers in their tight little shorty shorts because he's a guy. He's a hormonal teenager looking at women in shorty shorts that kind of accentuate their buttocks usually.
Oh, 90s.
Yeah.
Anyway. But as Max is being chased around by a security guard, Goofy ends up goofing his way onto the stage.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of Powerline's song.
Eye to eye.
They're there. Goofy doesn't know what's going on, but Max calls out to him, hey, Dad, do the perfect cast. And it turns out that without a fishing pole in your hand, the perfect cast ends up being a really cool-looking dance.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we flash back to Stacy's party, where the entire school is there, and they don't see Max. And Bobby. Bobby, who's supposed to be Max's other best friend, is saying, oh, he's not there. Where is he?
Yeah, everybody has lost faith except for Roxanne. Yeah. And Stacy's like, don't worry, he's going to be there. Meanwhile, Max has been chased up into the lighting rig by the security guard. But the security guard ends up getting a spotlight in the face. And falling down, and Max falls to the stage right in the middle of the dance number.
And he has his own little dance.
And Powerline and Goofy just pick it up.
Yeah. Like, well, you can accept Powerline. Powerline's a professional.
Yeah. I love that Powerline just goes with it. Like, there's just random people falling out of the sky in the middle of his dance number, and he's just like, Okay, we're just going to keep dancing and performing. Yeah.
He does the little teapot with Goofy, and he does the little arm-bending, leg-bending thing with Max. And meanwhile, everyone at Stacy's party is doing the dance that Max is doing.
Yeah, and they're happy. They're like, oh my goodness, they really did make it. And PJ sees it on TV and is like, Dad, they really did make it.
And it's never explicitly said, but that's clearly beer that Pete's drinking.
Yeah, it's too frothy to be anything else.
We kind of get something between Bobby and Stacy.
Sure, why not?
Sure, why not? That was just out of nowhere.
The journey accomplished and the task completed. And here come Goofy and Max back home in Goofy's horrible beat up car.
Yeah.
Somehow I don't know how runs. They fished it out of the of the river there.
On the way back, they went back and picked it up at the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. And first stop before they go home is Max has to see Roxanne.
And he has to come clean. And even Goofy is telling him to do the right, you're doing the right thing. And if she doesn't understand where you're coming from, then she's not the one for you.
Yeah. But of course, Roxanne does understand. She's like, dude, I liked you before.
Yeah, I you like your laugh.
You didn't have to do all this nonsense for me. You already had me.
Yeah.
You had me at a yuck.
And it just Max has to realize that she liked him for him. In her eyes, he was already cool.
Yeah. And now let's hope he can pull her down off that pedestal and they can have like a reasonable relationship.
And you know, and she even asked him out again to go out that night, and he says, "Well, I kind of promised my dad I'd hang out with him, but I'm free tomorrow." And she understands that. And apparently they're going to have a date the next day. Right when the car decides to finally explode.
And I love that just for like half a second, you're like, did they just blow up Goofy? Because the only thing left is shoes.
Yeah.
But then you realize that Goofy got blown into the air and he falls through the roof of the porch of Roxanne's house, and Max just rolls with it. He's like, let me introduce you to my dad.
We did skip over one thing, is that Max straight up kisses Roxanne before they've even had a date.
You know, if that's the way you roll, that's the way you roll. It's fine.
All right.
You do you.
I mean, she seems shocked by it, but she didn't exactly hit him for it.
Yeah, I mean.
Hey, so anyway, Goofy meets Roxanne.
Yeah.
And that is the end of the movie. We get eye to eye one more time, and that is the roll credits. That was a Goofy movie, and this movie's really good. For a movie made on a TV budget with TV animators, this movie, the writing really does save this movie.
Yeah, this is a really well-written movie. I hate the trope of this entire movie could have like been avoided if you'd have had a 10-minute conversation. But overlooking that, it's still a pretty good movie. And I like the kind of family idea, the trying to see things from the other person's perspective. Trust, love, you know, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
I was kind of worried about this one because honestly, I had not seen this movie since I have been an adult. I watched it a lot as a kid, and then, you know, I haven't rewatched it for a long time. But I was happily surprised that I still enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely enjoyed this movie. Definitely remember why I like this movie. So to kind of round about it, yes, I believe this movie still has the magic in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if you've never seen Goof Troop, this is a pretty good standalone movie. You don't actually have to have known any. All you have to know is Goofy has a son and Pete has a son and they live in the same town. Yeah. That's it.
And the character of Max kind of lived on after this. And Max, in a very rare, even for these Disney characters, Max aged. Like, the next time we see Max, he's in college. When we get around to House of Mouse, he's out of college and having a job. I believe it was the movie Twice Upon a Christmas, where he actually comes home from college. And they're having this conversation with his dad. So Max is a weird character in that they allowed this character to age.
Yeah, very unusual.
Especially again for Disney, who like to keep their characters stuck at the age that they're introduced in.
Yeah. I also, of course, think this movie still has some magic. Go, like I said, go watch it. It's a fun kids movie. It's got some fun songs in it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when you're a kid, you see the movie from Max's point of view and you understand where Max is coming from. But as an adult, you can kind of understand where Goofy's coming from.
Yeah. It is one of those that your perspective on it does change as you're older. I definitely have a different feeling on the storyline of this movie watching it now than I did when I was a kid. You know, but we've talked about that before in like Little Mermaid, you know. It's like, Ariel, you are 16, you have just met this guy, do not go changing your species for him.
Yeah.
But yeah.
This is really good. I just recommend just sit down and if you haven't seen this movie in a long time, do so. You won't regret it. And you know there are people who are saying that they, you know, they're sitting down with their kids and are watching it. You know, introducing the Goofy character to their kids through this movie, and that's not a bad way to do it.
No, it's not. I definitely recommend it. Yeah. And like I said, this version of Goofy, this Goof Troop era version of Goofy, is by far my favorite of the character. I just wish this movie had had more PJ in it. Yeah. I like PJ. For next week, we gotta continue our summer.
Yeah, we are continuing our summer vacation by doing what you mentioned earlier. We're going to camp.
Summer camp.
Well, they always say that everyone has a doppelganger, you know, a person that looks exactly like them, at least one in this world. What if you went to camp and met that person?
Oh, I think I see where you're going with this.
Yes, we are going to be talking about The Parent Trap, the original with Haley Mills.
I grew up with this movie. I'm sure you grew up with this movie. It was always on the Disney Channel when we were kids. Or on like ABC movie, Disney movie night.
Yep.
Good summertime classic. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. So that is all we have to say about that. And we will talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Rewatching the Magic. We invite you to keep the magic going by joining the conversation online. Find us on Facebook at Rewatching the Magic, on Twitter at Rewatch the Magic, and of course, find all new episodes at rewatchingthemagic.podbean.com. Until next time, remember, the magic is for everyone. It only stops if you let it.